lesson.
Well, good morning, and So I'm going to start with a little update, maybe a little bit of an excuse if this doesn't seem quite as polished as I would like it. Last night, Robbie had a little accident, and as a parent, you're always wondering, you know, does this need a trip to the doctor? And we ended up going into the pediatric urgent care, and he has a little fracture in his arm right here. I don't think it's a big deal, but he is going to need to get a cast. So next week, he will have a fancy hard cast that hopefully all you children can get to sign. But there's a picture of him after he got home. He has a temporary cast on, and he is a little bit of a sad little boy this morning. So if you think about it, pray for him. You know, these accidents happen, and you always would like it to be the time that he's like something impressive. You know, he was, the other day I came and he was climbing like 6 feet up in the air on a bookshelf. Well, we don't have any great story like that to tell. So it just, you know, it's amazing how little things happen. So, praying for his healing, and there's my excuse. The one other thing I will say is last Sunday, we found him in the basement hitting, wrestling Kenny, and he was just whacking him with his hand. He was just like, thump, 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 and I told Jess, we're going to have to watch him. If he has a big, heavy cast on and starts beating on Kenny, Kenny will never want to be his friend anymore. So anyway, we'll have to keep an eye on him with that cast, so... I always try to do something for the children. This time around, I didn't have much for you all, so I didn't have any great stories, so I thought I would just do a little update on Robbie in the beginning, and hopefully that that gives you something to think about during the sermon. So today, we want to continue looking at the book of John, and a little bit of review. Last time I was up here, we talked about the first few verses of John and what is the purpose of John writing this book. And just in review, the key to understanding this book is found not in the introduction, but farther into the book, almost at the end. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye may have life through his name, John 20:31. And that is the purpose of the book. So the whole book is reinforcing who Christ is. And in the first five verses, we looked at John stimulating the minds of his Jewish audience to draw from their knowledge of who God is and prime their minds to comprehend who Jesus is. We looked at Jesus, the Word, Logos, is eternal, the one with God, but also separate. He is 100% man, and is 100% God. Jesus is the light and is on earth to dispel darkness. And then finally, Jesus is supplier of life. We want to view the rest of this book through the lens that the book of John is about convincing the reader that Jesus is the Son of God, and that by believing this, we can have life. Briefly, just to do an overview of how I have personally divided the book up into little sections. You may do differently. As I read it, I see the first part of the book in chapter 1, we have this introduction. And then kind of toward the end of chapter 1 through chapter 12, we have some very detailed accounts of signs that point us toward who Jesus is. And then in chapters 13 through 20, we have the glory of Jesus revealed. And those are going to be very detailed accounts of the Last Supper, the farewell, what we call the farewell discourse, the passion, and the resurrection. And then we have, at the end of that, we have the conclusion that I read earlier, that we might believe. And then we have what I'll call an epilogue, and that's going to be in chapter 21. It's going to be the account of after his resurrection and some of the things that happened then. So that's kind of an outline of how I've divided the book up just as we work through it. Today, we are going to look at the first sign that is provided in this book, and that is that of John the Baptist. And it's interesting how this is kind of, I question whether this was part of the signs or part of the introduction, and I feel like it kind of rolls together somewhat seamlessly into being both kind of merged in there, but you can't read the story of John and not view it as a sign of who Jesus is. So I'm going to start by reading that John was the fulfillment of prophecy. And just to refresh our minds, if we go to Isaiah 40, verse 3 through 5, I quote, "A voice cries, 'In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.'" And we're all familiar with this as a quote of one of the prophecies of John coming to prepare the way of the Lord. And so I just want to merge into starting to read some of the text today. We're not extremely text-heavy, but there are some passages we're going to need to get through. So John 1, verse 6. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, has come into the world. He was not in the world, and the world made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried, 'This was he whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. For from his fullness we have received grace upon grace, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made known.'" Stopping at verse 18. So we see this carry on from the first few verses, or the first verses in John, continuing on with the idea of that Christ was the light, that Christ came and was the light of the world, and that light dispels darkness. So we're just continuing on from that. But then we bring John in, and John bears witness to the fact that Jesus is that light. And a couple things in this passage that stood out to me as I read them. And that was, it starts in verse 15 by mentioning John and the fact that he bore witness and his place in relation to Jesus. And one of the beautiful things about the Lord our Savior, we see this in the washing of the disciples' feet, but is the whole idea of an upside-down kingdom where there's a servant. And I think it's beautiful to see that John had that same concept. He understood his place in relation to Christ. And that's how John is introduced. John was sent to bear witness to the word. What does bear witness mean? And I had to think in this case of two different things. He was to bear witness or to prepare. And I was thinking about, one example that I thought of is a mirror or the moon, and how those are things that do not create light. They do not create an image. They simply reflect. And John was sent to reflect who Christ was, but he was not the light. And one of the beautiful things about John is that he was very clear about pointing people to Christ rather than ever taking any of the credit for being anything he was not. He was simply the reflection, or he reflected Christ. Though it's a little weird because he came before, so I think sometimes it's a little hard to wrap our minds around. And then he also was there to prepare a way. And one of the examples I thought of that is, I'm building a house right now, and so I'm thinking about building. And, that building of the house is very important, but in order for that house to be built, if you were building a beautiful log cabin on the side of a mountain, we would have to cut a path up to where you want the cabin. We would have to prepare, clear the trees. We would have to do all of this stuff to prepare for the cabin to be built and this wonderful masterpiece. And in many ways, those are things that will never get, the excavators don't get articles written on them. They don't get a lot of accolades, but they're very important and they have their place. And John understood his place. He was here to prepare people's hearts to hear the gospel and to believe. So I want to ask the question, who was John? And a couple things that I had to think about John, and this gets a little confusing, John the Baptist, not John the author. I'll try to distinguish, but hopefully you can follow along regardless. So I wanted to just read a couple verses out of Matthew. And just a reminder, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. When Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. So I'm going to stop there for a second, but just to point out, the audience that John, the author, is speaking to was very familiar with John the Baptist. And I think John had a lot of disciples and a lot of followers. And I think it had been very easy for them to get Jesus' place and John's place confused. And I'm struck by how John continues to come back and back and back to the fact, I am not the Christ. I am one here to prepare the way. And if we think about who John was as a person, John preached a radical message. He baptized and made disciples. He baptized Jesus. He angered those in authority. I'm going to read a couple of verses that followed the ones I just read. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up the children of Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." So we see him having a radical message. He said hard things that angered the Pharisees and the authorities, and ultimately was killed for his faith in Jesus. John the author keeps coming back to the fact that John the Baptist was adamant he is not the Christ. He's not even Elijah. He's not even a prophet. He is simply one preparing the way for Christ and the light. In contrast, we have Jesus. And I'm going to actually got ahead of myself on my notes and did not read the next section of John. So I do want to do that at this time. And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed. And I just want to pause here and point out, this is John the author quoting John the Baptist here. "And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not. Are you the prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' They said to him, 'Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." We read similar verses in Matthew earlier. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. Even he who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. So, just to continue on this, in contrast to who John was, Jesus was the light. He died an undeserving death for our sins. He defeated death and is our salvation and the giver of eternal life. And I'm struck with the fact that it's easy to get confused about when things go in a certain order. It's easy to get confused. And if you think at the time, the Jewish audience that John was writing to, there could have been confusion on what the, shall we say, the hierarchy, the importance of John versus Jesus. And it's easy for us to be a little condescending on, well, of course John wasn't the, you know, the Christ. But if you put yourself in their mindset, their mind, this was something that needed clarified. And that Jesus's place was that of our Savior. And I think that prepares us for reading the rest of the book of John, that John is making this argument for who Jesus is, and convincing the Jewish audience and convincing us today that who Jesus was, and also in the beginning this reminder of John was not the person they were following. The challenge that I want to take from the passage today, and I just want to acknowledge there's a lot in here that we could go through this verse by verse and break it down. There's commentaries that do that very well, and I'll let you read them. But at a very high level, much like in John's time, it is easy for us to get confused and focus on the people or the things pointing us to Christ rather than Christ himself. And John was very clear that that will not lead to eternal life. We have to be focused on Christ. And like John, we are called to make disciples. We are called to point people toward Christ. But as we point people toward Christ, we need to make sure we truly are pointing them toward Christ and not taking that credit or that trying to steal Christ's place in that. And it is humbling and a challenge to see how John just kept coming back to, I am not the Christ, and pointing the disciples toward Christ. In closing, I want to bring us back to the purpose of these writings. And they are, I just want to read the purpose statement of this book again. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye may have life through his name. In conclusion, that I wanted to bring out the word believe. The original word, and I'm not going to go into what it is, but can have kind of a double meaning. And that is the meaning of to begin to believe, or the action of, you know, a single place and time where it happened. And then it has a second meaning or interpretation that can mean the ongoing act of believing. And today I have faith that we all have begun to believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the Son of God, and that we have life through his name. But I would challenge us that that is just one piece of what that call is. But it is also an ongoing call that we are called to continue to believe today and every day before. And that's an ongoing action. And I had talked earlier in the previous message about the word believe also being an action. It is not a passive thing that we say, but it has the idea of physically doing something. And so my challenge to us this week is, how will our belief lead to action in our lives? How will we point people and prepare, reflect who Jesus is to those around us? And I think it's a sobering thing when we think about John and what he had to give up in order to do that. And so I would challenge us as well, what are we willing to give up in order to reflect and be like Christ and point people toward him? I know we're running a little short on time, so that is all I have. But I did want to just open it up. If there was anything that struck anybody, any comments you had on the passage, before we close in prayer, I'll give you opportunity. We don't always do this, but I'll... Dave? Yeah.
And just being able to acknowledge that.
Yeah. Thank you. Anyone else? Simon? Every day. Yep. Thank you.
My mind was kind of going along the line of what Dave said. Just, I like how you pointed out John the Baptist's humility in the whole thing. I'm not Jesus. I'm not even close to him. He meant that he's not even worth. He's not even worthy to like lose his sandals. But he knew his role in that.
Absolutely. It's easy to get to try to ride on Jesus's coattails of glory rather than be a John. So well, Mary? Thank you. Anyone else? I don't want to cut it off. Well, if not, let's stand and have a closing prayer, and you can consider yourselves dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son that we might believe. And Lord, I just pray as we go throughout this next week and the time to come, that that belief would be action and be reflected in our life, in how we live it, and how we interact with those around us. Lord, bless our steps as we go forth from this building, and may we always honor and glorify you. In your name, amen. You are dismissed.